The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Wednesday, Gary, how are you?
Horrible. Great. Nobody really cares.
You're right.
So, right to it.
Okay.
Let's start out the show with the audio cut of the day, all right? This happened beginning of May, but I just saw it on social media when I woke up.
All right, okay.
Just before I woke up.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, okay, this is some tough, hard-hitting journalism from CNN, and so we have to play it. This is going back a couple of weeks, and this is Allison Camerota. Oh, man, with tough questions for Kamala Harris.
And we like to talk a lot about music here on this program. So, what is your favorite musical genre?
Oh, I mean, I'm hip-hop and reggae and jazz. Those are some of my favorites.
Okay. Do you have a favorite band or a favorite musician?
I'd say one of my favorites is Bob Marley.
Good choice.
Buffalo Soldier. Buffalo Soldier.
What's your favorite movie? What's your favorite color? We'll get to the issues later.
Well, let me ask you this. Does anybody have any idea what Trump listens to?
No.
He listens to metal.
Has anybody ever asked him that question from CNN? Has Jim Acosta asked him that question and the president refused to answer, and that's what caused the rift between them?
No, remember, Jimmy Fallon nearly lost his job just for tussling his hair when he was a candidate. Can you imagine if someone at CNN asked him what his favorite music was? They'd be carried out. The rest of everybody else at CNN would carry that person outside and put them on the sidewalk and scream, "You're fired."
No, that's right. Could you imagine if Trump was on there and somebody on CNN asked him those kind of questions, even when he was a candidate for president of the United States.
Right.
Now, the closest that we can figure out that a Republican has ever come to, you know, having those questions asked for him was back in 2015 when Mark Halperin asked. Remember, Mark Halperin asked Ted Cruz,
gosh.
But this was because they were trying to find out.
You're not really of Cuban descent.
Whether he was authentically Cuban.
Yes.
So they were asking him Cuban questions to see if he really embraced his Cuban ethnicity. And it got to the point of being embarrassing. They were asking him his favorite Cuban music.
And then at the end, instructed him to speak Spanish.
Right, exactly.
It was the most ridiculous thing I had seen that day. It was so stupid. Wow.
And CNN wonders why their ratings are in the toilet.
Keep it up. You know, for the president, it probably would be. I haven't thought about it because I don't have much downtime. I never stop working because I love my work.
Yeah, because if Trump came out and said, you know, somebody said, "What's your favorite music?" And he said, "The Bee Gees, Saturday Night Fever." That's... Even though there's a New York spin to it, or a New York a New York tie into it, most people would probably say, "No, that's not cool."
Yeah,
I have no idea what the only reason that came up is I was talking to somebody about the Bee Gees yesterday. So,
yeah, it would be one of those moments where I'd say to myself, "All right, it's over." If we ever get to that point, the media has clearly, just gone off the rails. If anybody ever asked the president, "What's your favorite, whatever it is,
music? What do you listen to?"
Well, they make fun of him because, you know, he was eating on the campaign trail. He's a huge fan of McDonald's, apparently, the quarter pounder with cheese, I think it is, and fries. And so they would have it waiting for him when he would get back on the plane. And now, after he moved into the White House, he was trying to get the White House chefs to duplicate the McDonald's quarter pounder with cheese, and they couldn't do it. So he sent the Secret Service out to go through the drive-thru at McDonald's. They made fun of him for that. They would probably ride along with Kamala Harris at the drive-thru. There's your difference. Oh, look, she eats burgers just like real people.
And Buffalo Soldier be playing in the background.
Yeah.
She's ordering her Whopper.
Yeah.
Okay, McDonald's.
No Woman, No Cry playing, you know, blasting through. Yeah. No. No. With the president, it's, can you believe he eats at McDonald's? What a loser. With Kamala Harris, what kind of, so are you going to use ketchup for the fries, or are you going to go rogue and get barbecue sauce or ranch? Some people dip their fries in ranch.
Did you get a regular coffee at McDonald's?
Yeah. What kind of soda?
Or did you get the new exotic stuff that they have?
Did you get an apple pie? Did you feel like you were going back to your childhood when you ordered that Happy Meal just now with the toy? Let's see you play with the toy.
You know, Kamala, we're you know, again, showing that you eat at McDonald's shows that you're just a regular, normal person, but you're also somebody who's always thinking of social justice, because you were the first one to come out and talk about the fact that Ronald McDonald was portraying gender stereotypes and was not gender nonconforming.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what I just said there, but I
well, it would be.
I just threw in a bunch of words, but don't they?
Well, it's you know, with Trump, here's a billionaire at the drive-thru, but yet the people working the drive-thru to serve him that food aren't making the $15 an hour.
Oh, that, by the way, that's a good one, because Biden came out yesterday and said Trump can't relate to the average person.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you don't eat burgers.
Right. Haven't seen you at a McDonald's drive-thru.
If that's how we're judging it.
Exactly.
By the way, he's not going to win that one.
No.
Because
no,
you can't,
not.
You know, we, you can't find we've talked about it, that Romney, who doesn't have nearly the wealth that Trump has,
right,
was viewed as, sorry, this guy cannot be president of the United States because he's rich. You get a guy who comes who's a lot richer than Romney, and he actually connected with the working person. I don't know. I'm trying to think of another. I'm not talking about minor candidates, but major candidates who really, the message of being for the worker was really the centerpiece that worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it hasn't been tried before, because the socialists are out there right now saying, we're for the worker, we're for the worker, yeah. Which is, I mean, but they've been doing that for the last 100 years,
mm-hmm.
that socialism and communism is for the worker. We've seen the trail of destruction of the common worker through socialist communist ideology around the world over the last 100 years, too.
Right.
But when you talk about a major political candidate, I don't think anybody, if Biden's trying to make that case, he's not going to be able to make it.
No, he's not. In fact, it was the appeal. It's what you hear. And it's, by the way, what made him a celebrity. You know, if you think about the whole the Celebrity Apprentice, that whole thing, you're fired, was what? It was blunt. It was we respect him for his business knowledge and experience, but more importantly, we respect him for the fact that he just talks directly. Well, that comes from his background. That comes from 40 years of being a celebrity, and people like Oprah Winfrey or Larry King or whoever having him on to speak the way he speaks, because he talks like a normal person. You know, when you have a Mitt Romney up there, he comes off as a robot, to the extent that I'm pretty sure he's a robot.
Yeah.
And when you have...
By the way, you tagged him with that years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago, you called him a robot.
It's far too mechanical. And this is exactly what you're seeing here. The left, they don't want to get... The left media doesn't want to get into the discussion. And so they engage in stupid conversations and questions, just like you heard with Kamala Harris. That's never going to happen with Donald Trump. And by the way, that's a good thing. We're okay with that. We go back to, remember, Newt Gingrich. What was it? Someone, the kids on MTV asked him,
yes,
boxers or briefs?
Because it was asked to Clinton, and he answered.
Yeah. And Newt said, look, I'm here to answer real questions.
Yeah, that's an inappropriate ridiculous. Question.
Right. So it's when it comes, the president, this president isn't afraid to answer any of those questions. Again, sometimes to a fault.
Sometimes it doesn't work for him, but right. he's willing to answer any
But he's
question.
Willing to answer any question. The thing is that the media has no interest in treating him the same. And there's your difference right there. Kamala Harris, they right. would have done a ride-along through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and with Donald Trump, he's going to be maligned
well,
because he eats McDonald's.
And that's why I played it, because if you want the perfect example of media bias and in the different forms that it comes in, there's one, you know, there's one right there.
Yes.
Coming up on the show today, we've got so much to talk about. Are the Democrats coming closer to impeachment? New polling on the Dems of the least liked Democratic presidential candidates. The New York Times editor says that newspapers are doomed. Most gone in 5 years. NBA ratings down drastically. You see the game the other night was down 48% from last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because of modern liberalism, segregation is the new thing on campus. Now that's progressive.
Yes.
We're progressive. Let's segregate. Now, we have spent a lot of time. We've spent a lot of time. Remember University of Missouri and the riots going on there and the call for safe spaces and segregation and all of that. We said, well, there's a new left. The new, let's promote something. Let's promote the new inclusiveness. What's that? What's the new inclusiveness? Segregation.
Yeah. Right.
Inclusive can't be segregation. The words, we change definition of words all the time. Inclusive now is what we use all the time, and inclusive means separating people by the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. That's inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the KKK couldn't have come up with marketing like that.
No.
And sold it.
No.
But the left does.
Yeah.
We're being inclusive. We wish to segregate.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did Red Eye ever call it. The president is asking Democrats to pass the new NAFTA before any infrastructure deal. You and I asked that question a couple of weeks ago. Why is he insistent on doing this? There doesn't seem to be a reason to do it unless...
Hit the pause button and wait before we get that done. Let's get the new NAFTA done. USMCA, which also I think falls in line with the theory that they're working to get everything done with our other trade partners before G20 next month in order to put pressure on China. I suspect that's what's going on here. But the leverage, he would have no leverage for USMCA on the other side of infrastructure. If they got an infrastructure deal done, USMCA certainly would never get done. And he knows that. And so they're working on this, trying to get... And I don't know where it's going to go. I don't see the Democrats. I don't predict the Democrats are going to give him anything that he's asking for. Just because they don't want to do that before November of next year. They want to hit the pause button at least until then, and which would push it into, of course, January the following year before that next Congress and president are seated if he loses. So I don't see them doing much with USMCA. I don't think they're going to get anywhere with infrastructure because they're not going to get that through the Senate.
Well, it is a way, though. This may be, and again, we'll see what happens. This may be a great way to position yourself politically. You know, you and I were talking about that a couple of weeks ago, that if you come out, if you know you're not going to get anything,
mm-hmm.
bring the Democrats in to show that you're willing to talk.
Yes.
And then you throw at them, well, look, I'm willing to talk infrastructure and get this deal done. Let's build our roads and bridges, but let's also ensure, because now you see that Canada, that you know, and Canada and Mexico may ratify it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, their legislative bodies may ratify this thing very, if they ratify it. Then Trump does have that club to use and say, look, I've got the new trade deal, and I think it's only fair that we pass this trade deal because Canada and Mexico they agree with it. But also, before we go to infrastructure, I believe the Democrats should do something because they've done nothing except attack me, and I'm willing to deal with infrastructure, knowing it's never going to happen.
Right, right.
But you use that.
Yeah.
As a political hammer against the Democrats.
You just hit on the key. he knows the Senate's never going to get infrastructure done. They're never going to get that through. But he can push for it and say, no. I want $1 trillion or $2 trillion or whatever it is. Yes, we need this. I'm sorry, Senate didn't get it done. Now, of course, he's not going to pull the wool over the eyes of those, you know, the Democrats that can see right through that. But does he have enough leverage to get USMCA done? If he does, if you make the point with Canada and Mexico, if they ratify it, if each of those nations ratify it and they come back, it will be because you pick and choose your battles for the Democrats. Something like this, they don't have to. It's really not a defeat for them politically. If they do it now, get it out of the way, most people will forget it. Because not much is going to change.
Right. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. This whole Don McGahn thing we've got to cover here in just a little bit because it's just getting to the point of being ridiculous. When you were gone yesterday, by the way, was talking about the Representative Amash thing from, the whole thing about the impeachment, and we went through it point by point. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. And I have to tell you that I'm getting to the point as a talk show host where I see stories, I'm like, well, there's nothing there. And I don't talk about it the first day. And then the second day, because of the response from the Democrats, I'm like, well, okay, but this is a duh. And the whole Don McGahn thing, the Democrats are outright lying. They don't have any type of legal point at all. Zero. None. Squat. And we'll get to that. The other thing is I do have to ask again, because we talked about Pete Buttigieg yesterday and the glowing reviews about him, about how he's this incredible candidate. Mm-hmm. Even Britt Hume saying, best candidate since Obama.
Right.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, the other point that we talk about is they talk about how intelligent he is. Mm-hmm. That he's so dynamic and he's so intelligent. This is the most intelligent Democrat candidate. I asked a question yesterday. I want to make sure we ask it for a while. Give me one issue that Buttigieg is intelligent on.
Right.
One issue that he is proposing. One. You can write me. I don't care how you do it. Tell me one thing where his great intellect comes out. Go to his website. You can see all the socialist things that he is proposing. Mm-hmm. Show me where this great intellect is in Pete Buttigieg.
Well, it's exactly what we said a few months ago. Maybe even before that, we talked about how the left really focuses on the mannerisms.
Yes.
It's not what they say, it's how they say it. Oh, he's intelligent. Why? Because of his mannerisms?
Yep.
For Travel Centers of America, here's your national forecast.
That risk for severe weather in the south today is much diminished as that frontal boundary that was causing all the issues is finally pushing off to the east. Low pressure in the center of the country is going to continue to drive snow showers to the higher elevations of the northern Rockies. If you're planning on some vacationing this weekend for Memorial Day in, say, around Yellowstone, you'll want to keep an eye on the forecast because we have snow out for that area today and may still be a factor this weekend. Portions of I-15, perhaps as far as I-25 in Wyoming, could see some white stuff, especially at higher elevations. There'll be rain at the lower elevations the next several days. Helena at 300 feet, all rain. Yellowstone up at 6,000 feet, we've got snow. What was left of southern severe weather will continue to produce light rain from the Arklatex region up through the Great Lakes. Most of the northeast, mid-Atlantic, and south will be dry. The National Forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
We'll be right back.
disturbing on so many levels. Eric Hartley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Hartley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Okay, I want to play this audio cut here, and this was on MSNBC, interviewing Democratic Representative David Cicilline on the White House. And this was before they did it, but the plan to evoke executive privilege and block former White House counsel Don McGahn from testifying. You saw the empty seat yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're playing the theater. But here was part of that interview, and he was asked why the White House doesn't have any legal points. All right, here we go.
Well, obviously, we hope that Mr. McGahn will appear tomorrow. This claim of immunity, which is really a newly created claim, I think the White House recognizes executive privilege doesn't apply since Mr. McGahn testified for 30 hours. And, of course, you can't apply executive privilege after you've disclosed the communications. So now they're making this really broad.
Okay, there you go. Certainly you can. Why? I mean, he's absolutely lying. Call it immunity, call it executive privilege. I know there's a difference between the two, but executive privilege is fine. Well, no, he doesn't have executive privilege because he testified before Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller is part of the executive branch. I know this is tough for a lot of Democrats out there because you don't understand the separation of powers. So I'll make it extremely simple. The president cannot call a member of Congress to testify before a panel that the president decides to put together. Right. They are separate branches of government. Now, Congress can call those department heads that are funded by Congress to appear before them because they have oversight and they fund those particular agencies. For example, Congress has oversight over the FBI. The president may put those people in there, but they are not, their job is not to personally advise the president. Executive privilege holds because Don McGahn testified before Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller was appointed by the Justice Department. For those of you who don't know, the Justice Department is part of the executive branch. To start the lesson all over again for the Democrats and liberals listening out there and the Democrat members of Congress who seem to be absolutely clearless as to how the constitutional makeup of this country is, there are three branches of government: the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. The president cannot call a member of Congress before him to testify. Well, he can if he wishes to, and if the member of Congress wishes to show, that's fine. He cannot force a member of Congress to testify before him.
Mm-hmm.
Congress cannot mandate that the president or any of his close advisors, those who are there to advise him, his inner circle inside the White House, they cannot compel them to testify. You do not give up executive privilege because he testified before Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller, part of the executive branch, not the legislative branch. End of story. You know, it got to the point, you know, I'm thinking that I'm not cut out for this business anymore. You know why? Mm. And just two things this week.
Mm.
Monday, we came in and the Justin Amish thing was out there, and we really didn't cover it that much. And I know from my point of view, I just said, well, there's nothing new there. It's just ridiculous. And it wasn't until the Democrats pounded on the next day talking about how legitimate it was when they really started to pound the next day where I went, oh, okay, I better bring this up. And even the Don McGahn thing, I didn't even talk about it when you were gone yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm thinking, there's nothing. They've got nothing here. Then they pound on it all day again. And it's like, oh, okay. And I realize now when I see these stories, I have to expect what the Democrats are going to do. I feel like I haven't done my job the last couple of days because it's like, it's so obvious.
You think that the crying children are just going to stop crying and go to sleep, but they don't.
Yeah, I guess that I'm under the delusion.
Yes.
That somebody else out there will say, Look, they don't have any points. They're not making any new points. It's the same point, different person, the same point that we've covered and defeated their argument 1,000 times over.
Yes. And because if it's not going to be William Barr, then it's going to be Don Jr. Well, no, it's going to be McGahn. No, it's going to be... And this is where they will go. They want to keep this thing going. I mean, it won't be long before the president's daughter is called.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I mean, it will be... the White House dentist. What did you hear? What did he say when you... When you were working on the president's teeth, what did he say? It's this desperate attempt to get something out of nothing. But here's what they know. They know what the president's answer is going to be, what the administration's answer is going to be, and that's exactly what they expect. They want it, and this is why you get the, we could be looking at the greatest cover-up in American history.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Bogus comment.
Well, it's ridiculous because all the questions have already been asked.
Yes.
And answered.
Right.
They simply wish to rehash it again.
Yes.
To keep it in the news.
Right.
But when Cicilline gets out there, just representative of Congress, they absolutely lie. Nadler was doing the same thing mm-hmm. yesterday. Mm-hmm. Absolutely lying about the law because of the separation of powers and the constitutional issues, and they know they're not going to be called on it.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's not going to, the media doesn't care to do their homework because it doesn't suit them. They would rather ask Kamala Harris what her favorite music is than ask a tough question of somebody on Capitol Hill.
And, you know, the other thing about being a talk show host these days, it's, you know, we'll once in a while, and I'm sure people that disagree with us, you guys keep repeating the same thing every day. That's because the opposition keeps making the wrong point. And there is only there are correct answers, and those correct answers are always going to be the same when we attack them. When they make the same wrong allegation every time, that's the current event for the day. We have to respond in the same way. But don't think that at times I don't think to myself, and I know you think the same way,
mm-hmm.
oh, geez, we just covered that. Oh, we just covered that.
Right.
Oh, geez, we're repeating ourselves. And it's like... But you have to, because they're doing the same thing every single day. They're making the wrong argument, the false argument, every single day. So every single day, you've got to tell the truth, which may be the same argument that you've made for the last 1,000 days.
Yep. Because their tactic doesn't change. Nothing on the left is going to change. They're going to be beating this drum, this dead horse, until November of next year. Get ready for it.
Oh, look, it's expected. It's just, yesterday when you were gone, had a couple of liberals call, and it was just impossible. You can't even have a discussion with them. They'll bring up a point, you say, okay, let's address that point. And mm-hmm. you address it, and you ask them a question, and they go off on another tangent that has nothing to do with what you can't even have a discussion.
Right.
It's impossible.
Yeah. Well, and because nobody wants to hear reality. Nobody wants to deal with reality. So they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to face it. Let's talk about Kamala Harris's favorite music instead of talk about the issues.
Buffalo Soldier. I'm sorry.
There's nowhere else to go with the left. They've really run out of tactics. So they're repeating the same over and over.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's not us. It's the fact that they keep attacking the same way because they have nothing else. There is nothing new that they have.
Right.
That's a great point. I'm just
there's nothing.
I'm just consumed with my right at this moment with the frustration that I have
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of topics I'd love to talk about every single day, you know, and just
right.
And like we did the other day. It was great when we got into talking about socialism when we got that one call. So
sure.
We were able to actually talk about it. The guy was saying, you're calling socialism evil? Yeah, okay, you brought it up. Let's really get into it. And I like those discussions. I like the economic discussions, but it mm-hmm. comes you know, every single day, the current events are the Democrats throwing out the same false thing on the same topic that we've been talking about the last 2 years, hanging on to it. And frankly, it gets boring.
Yeah, right. It is not, it's not surprising that they run out of their, you know, they've emptied their toy box. So they keep using the same toys. They're throwing the same tantrum.
But the McGahn thing was just so stupid yesterday. We're going to impeach. You're going to impeach because of an absolutely clear precedent, in constitutional law, which is executive privilege.
Yeah.
So it's just you're going to impeach over that? Go ahead, do it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, do it. Go in that direction.
Yep.
Because they really are. If you think about it, we talked about this yesterday. You know, the Hill story, Politico had the story about Nancy Pelosi going, no. And you've got Democrats on that leadership, the least leadership committee, saying absolutely wish to impeach. I think that they understand where it's going. I think they are just livid that Mueller got nothing, that there is nothing. And remember, Maxine Waters has been talking about impeaching just because he exists. And one of the things that was said, and it became big news yesterday, we talked about it on yesterday's show, which I forgot it was Cohen, Representative Cohen, the Democrat who came out and said they impeached Clinton for sex. We can impeach Trump for raping the country. And I went, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, the first one was a lie because he wasn't impeached for sex.
No, he lied to a grand jury.
Yeah, he was impeached for lying to a grand jury. And in a sexual harassment suit, which apparently is hashtag Me Too because of Biden now doesn't exist at all.
Right.
It's completely been wiped out. Biden helped defeat hashtag Me Too completely.
As soon as we need someone to beat Trump, we can excuse them.
Right. So that was a lie. And then the other part, raping the country, what does that even mean?
Right.
What it shows is the emotion. It's not, he didn't say he committed, he's raping the country. What he's saying is, I don't like what Donald Trump's doing in office. Let's impeach. Go ahead. Do it.
If you want to lose 2020 in a big way, please move forward with it.
And it's, you know, they say in the bat, Nancy Pelosi is saying, well, it's the best, you know, they're even telling her, you're doing this because it's political. And she's saying, no, it's because it's best for the country. No, she's doing it because it's political.
Yes.
Because there is no reason. There is no reason. And it's like, you're going to use the McGahn thing to impeach the president? Wow. Go for it.
Yeah. Bring it on. You want to not only unify his base all over again, which really won't take much, but also add to it, move on with impeachment. Make that happen.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. And then, you know, they've gone further, former advisor Hope Hicks, and I can't think of the other advisor that they're also going after, and it's, you know, to subpoena them. And it's like, what are you even doing it for? I think this shows you just how insane it is right now with the far-left Democrats who just want impeachment. Because, look, we know what all the answers are. Because Mueller did an investigation that is much more thorough than Congress can ever do. There's nothing there. They just wish to have a battle with the White House, I think, to keep their base, you know, to keep their base going. And I think, you know, except for maybe a couple of comments, the White House should just let them battle between themselves. But
yeah, I think Kimberly Strassel, when she did an article that was about 2 weeks ago in the Wall Street Journal, what does Nadler really want? And at the end of it, she points out all throughout that article, but at the end came to the conclusion, it's about the show. Nadler just wants the show. He has to show, they have to show the far left right now that they're fighting. But they're not going to bring it to a vote on impeachment. That's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. They'll talk about it, but here's the thing. It's just like the Kavanaugh proceedings with the Kavanaugh hearings. I talked about how the far left can get away with that. Kamala Harris can get away with that in her state, right? Anybody in the House can get away with a number of things in their own district. What they don't think about is the negative effect on their party during a presidential cycle. That's going to happen. That's definitely going to happen. They don't think in those terms, though. They think about appeasing the far left. But the negative effect is building people in the middle that are more and more in support of the president. Now, we'll see if that actually happens, but I guarantee you this behavior does not help the Democrats at all.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. All right, I found a ton of different audio cuts, okay? All on impeachment.
All right.
All from Democrats.
Okay.
Here's Elijah Cummings, okay? Here we go.
All right. I'm getting there. I think what the president has done has put us in a position where we cannot get any information to do the oversight that we need to do.
All right, so he's getting there on impeachment is what he meant. All right.
All right.
AOC. All right, here we go.
I think impeaching and choosing to not impeach when there is an abundance of evidence could also be construed as politically motivated as well. And we can't be scared of elections. We need to uphold the rule of law.
Okay. Adam Schiff. All right, here we go.
Okay. I think the case gets stronger the more they stonewall the Congress.
All right. So and finally, we have to get to Skater Bob.
Okay.
Here we go. Better or work.
It's an incredibly serious, sober decision that we should make as a country. Really, the last resort when every other option has failed us. And at this point where the president has refused to respond to any subpoena, where his attorney general will not testify, where he will not furnish other witnesses so that we can find out what happened to this great democracy in 2016 and how we prevent future attacks in 2020 and beyond. I think this moment calls for us to look beyond the politics and the polling and even the next election. It's the very sanctity of the ballot box and the very future of the world's greatest democracy. And if this is important to us, and I think it is, then we need to look past those short-term consequences to the consequences to the future of this country.
All right. So what they're all saying is we're going in the direction of impeachment, correct?
Yeah,
right. That's a proper assessment of it.
Yeah.
How long do they continue on that path without ever doing it?
November 3rd, 2020.
Well, how long will it last?
Unless he wins, and then it will go on for another 4 years.
Then he will be impeached if the Democrats have the House. At that point, they'll do it because he'll be a lame duck. When it won't matter.
Yeah, they'll wait until after the midterm, the following midterm,
right,
to do it, but yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they may wait till after the midterm. Who knows?
Right.
That would be 2 years out, though.
Right.
They may want to stay away from a presidential election. So they're all heading in that direction. As we said before, by the way, Barr was willing to testify before the House.
Mm-hmm.
That's incorrect to say that.
Right.
He was willing to testify. He said, I'm not testifying. I'm testifying before the House.
Not staff lawyers.
Right. I'll testify before Congress.
He answers to the people.
Right. I will testify. I testified in the Senate. I will testify in the House. Well, we're going to use our lawyers. Well, no. I will testify before you.
And your lawyers. And we demand that you bring to us the completely unredacted
report.
Right. No and no.
Right. They don't have any case, and they're not, by the way, they're not making a case. They go out and lie. They won't actually debate it with anybody. Look, we know. I've done this a long time. If Democrats thought they'd have a point, we'd hear it.
Mm-hmm.
We'd hear, we would hear that the Democrats, or rank and file Democrats, you know, parroting their talking points, and we don't. As I told you this past weekend, two liberals who I talked to, and it was great, two together. And someone apparently told them what I did, and they said, "You a Trump supporter?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm." I voted for him. What does supporter mean? Said, do I think he's doing a good job? Yeah, on the conclusion of a lot of where he gets to, he's doing more than I normally get from a regular Republican president to begin with. You know, what's your point? Well, he committed treason. Did he now? What specifically? And this was a conversation went on for 45 minutes. At the end of it, they were agreeing with me because they were in a closed place. And it was funny because somebody also knows me says, look, he goes after Trump when he disagrees with him, just so you know, if you've never heard his show before. And so these people actually, for some reason, I don't know what it was. It wasn't an abundance of adult beverages. I'll make that clear, okay?
It wasn't?
No, it was not an abundance of adult beverages at all.
They talk that way.
And but when we finished it, 45 minutes, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Looked and just said, yeah, okay. I said, he didn't commit treason. There's no evidence. They go, yeah, they go, okay, they went too far in that. Yeah, but you were trying to make the case that he colluded when we started the conversation.
Right.
Well, you know, everybody gets excited and stuff like that. And, well, yeah. This isn't a pep rally.
No, but it is a gymnasium filled with 1,000 children screaming all at once. I'm not wrong about that. That's how they behave over and over again. And when they don't get their attention, they scream louder. They believe a subpoena will change the laws and the rules that apply. Nope, you want to do that? There's a process for that. Go for it. But they're not going to move. Nadler's going to keep doing this to put on his show. Nadler's going to keep doing this just to make the noise, to pretend like he's fighting.
How long do they continue with this before it backfires on them, where their own internal polling as we get closer to the 2020 election shows it's not working? Because remember, the Mueller report came out, and if you look at the polling, most people believe they trust Mueller. Oh, by the way, what do you think about Mueller hesitant to testify? That didn't come out until yesterday.
Right,
you and I'd asked
right.
that question here right. for the last 3 weeks saying, you haven't heard from him.
Well,
nobody's heard from him. All we hear is they're negotiating, and he'll probably do it in June. And you and I kept saying, well, wait a minute. Does Mueller really wish to testify, not in front of Democrats, but does he want the cross-examination from Republicans?
Right.
And does he want Democrats who are furious that he didn't go after him from obstruction of justice, because they're going to come after him for that?
And that's it. We asked that question several weeks ago. And said, you know, when they started this whole thing, and said, does he want to? Does he want to testify?
Because
there's a couple of things. As you pointed out, it's going to be questions from both sides. Why didn't you complete the job would be my first question. But then beyond that, it's going to be the fact that Mueller has done his, for him, he's done. He's got on a pair of waders. He's going fly fishing. He's through. It's over. He's done his job. He doesn't want to do any more. The report belongs to the Attorney General.
Here it is. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team has expressed reluctance to him testifying publicly in front of the House Judiciary Committee, according to sources familiar with the matter. The special counsel's team has conveyed the notion Mueller does not want to appear political after staying behind the scenes for 2 years and not speaking as he conducted his investigation to President Donald Trump. One option is to have him testify behind closed doors, but the notion that Mueller would only answer questions in private has become a sticking point, according to a source, as Democrats believe the public needs to hear directly from the special counsel. Our entire point is they don't want the information. They have the information. They wish to create the show.
Yep.
Rank-and-file Democrats made clear Tuesday they believe Mueller must testify publicly given the gravity of the investigation. Sources caution numerous options are being considered in the negotiations between the committee and the special counsel's office at this point. Justice officials are generally supportive of how the team is proceeding with negotiations. As Attorney General Bill Barr told the Wall Street Journal last week, it's Bob's call whether he wants to testify. But as Barr said, he has no problem with it whatsoever. And as Barr said, I have no problem testifying in front of the House Judiciary Committee either. I have no problems testifying before Congress. I'll testify before Congress, not their attorneys.
Right.
I'll testify before the elected representatives that were elected by the people. That's who I'm responsible to answer questions to, not their lawyers.
Yep.
We said from the very beginning, it's a solid point. When the Democrats come out and said he's refused to testify. No, he hasn't.
No, he has not.
He has not refused to testify. He's refused to testify before your lawyers. Your lawyers can be sitting right next to you and you ask the question. You can get advice from your lawyers. Your staff lawyers can be there.
They can do all the prep for you.
And they can whisper in your ear. They can do all the prep. You can ask the same questions. He simply said, I am obligated constitutionally to report to the elected representatives of the United States, not their lawyers. Solid legal point.
Yep. He answers to them. They can be a part of the process in helping those representatives prep those questions. But he answers to them. End of story. But they have nothing, and again, all they want is the show.
All they want is the show.
Keep throwing things at the administration that you know they're not going to do in order to make it look like they're hiding something. That's why they use the word cover-up. This could be the largest cover-up. We're looking at the largest cover-up in American history. That's a load of garbage. And it's also trying to build something, some kind of fortress around their party for what is the inevitable. And that's the other side of the investigation.
But if you want to know why it's political, I mean, when Hope Hicks going after McGahn, when obviously the precedent on executive privilege, the precedent on the separation of powers is so clear.
Mm-hmm.
But they know the majority of Americans have no idea what that is.
Right.
As the polling shows, the majority of Americans have no idea. And it was over 70%. They don't know. They could not name all three branches of the government. If you can't do that, you don't understand how our government works. And they rely on the fact that Americans don't know, or Democrats, they rely on the fact that Democrats don't know how the government works.
But
when you know how the government is worked and is set up and is supposed to work and the separation of powers, the president can't form a panel and say,
no.
I want my White House people to interview that congressperson over there.
Hmm.
Why? Separation of powers. The president can't put together a panel to question Nadler and demand that Nadler come before him. I want Nadler to come before my panel, so I can question him because Nadler is doing wrong. Can't do that.
Nope.
Now, the Justice Department could investigate Nadler.
Mm-hmm.
But the president himself can't do it. Now, Nadler, as we've said before, Congress can call the Attorney General. Congress can call any member of his cabinet because they fund those and they do have oversight over those institutions. But Bill Barr has never refused to testify before Congress. He's refused to testify before their lawyers. And his point is, my obligation is to testify before the elected representatives. That's what's in the Constitution. That's what the law is. They have oversight, not their lawyers. You can have your lawyers behind you. I want to talk. I will testify directly to the members of Congress, to the Democrats. That's what I will do.
Mm-hmm. That is his obligation, nothing else.
Right. You can't get him on that.
No.
And we're talking the legalities here, As to finding out new information, there's no information to be found out.
No.
They know that. They want it for a show. They want it so they can keep, if they can have the confrontation with people in the public, then they believe that's the way that they can keep the impeachment narrative going. If they don't have that, then they're only arguing between themselves and maybe the president's tweets.
Right.
There's really nothing else out there. And maybe talk radio and conservative media stating, you folks have nothing.
Because they do. They have absolutely zero.
And so that's my point. They believe the only way that they can keep this going is by having confrontation. Doesn't matter whether we learn anything new. It's just having confrontation and accusing by the public confrontation with members of the Trump staff by having the confrontation continue. Because let me ask, what are they legitimately trying to find out?
What is it that they want? What is it that they think they have?
Right.
Remember, Adam Schiff said for when he was not in charge of the Senate Intelligence or the House Intelligence Committee, when he was not the chairman, he kept saying he had evidence of collusion.
Right.
He'd seen it.
Why aren't
Nadler should be calling across the hallway?
No, that's a great point.
To his buddy, to his colleague on the other committee, saying, "Hey, bring the evidence to me. You've
right.
got it. You kept saying you've seen it.
Why isn't Nadler going after Adam Schiff, who says he has seen the evidence of collusion?"
Right.
Because if the Republicans and Mueller are hiding it and Barr are hiding it, Schiff knows where it is.
Why is Adam Schiff refusing to testify?
Right.
This could be the largest cover-up in American history.
The cover-up seems to be coming from the Democrats because Adam Schiff says he has the evidence of collusion.
Yes.
Yet nobody is demanding on the Democrat side that he come clean and tell the American public what everybody else apparently is lying about.
Right.
Why aren't Democrats upset at Adam Schiff?
Why? What is Adam Schiff hiding? Why is he so pro-Trump? Why is he protecting the president?
Somebody has to ask the question. Is Adam Schiff being paid off by President Trump?
Who happens to be a billionaire.
And we know is willing to commit obstruction of justice.
Right. I mean, if he'll pay off a porn star, he'll definitely pay off
Adam Schiff.
Adam Schiff.
Boy, we can go. I'm telling you, you want to go in different directions? The idiots at Red are willing to do it.
Yes, we're doing it right
we'll
now.
Go in every single direction possible.
Yes.
Democrats, we can beat you at your own game.
Because
you
it's
can't
not that
win.
Hard.
If you want to get in, we do have lines open. I don't know what you're going to talk about.
I don't know.
I'm not sure where we're going.
I have no
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on trip planning. Nature often has a mind of its own, and typically it tends to have a negative effect on truck drivers. Before heading out for a trip, check the forecast for potentially adverse conditions. There's always a chance that predicted stormy weather will dissipate, but it's still always better to be prepared than caught off guard. Remember to download a reliable weather app and plan your route to try to avoid inclement conditions. After learning what might be ahead, be sure to pack an appropriate emergency kit to help you deal with any weather-related problems. When you hit the road, remember to slow down if the conditions dictate to avoid accidents and breakdowns. It's safety first and everything else second. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio, he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. You know, we kid when we talk about the Adam Schiff thing, but if you were, you could promote that. If you talk about how the Democrats are not being serious, as we see with everything that's going on, well, we can be just as not serious and make it seem like it's legit. That we all know that Adam Schiff, of course, was lying when he said he saw evidence of collusion.
Right.
But he stated that before the public. And a case can be made. I think some Republicans should make it. That look, I think some Republicans should actually get out there and dare the Democrats. Look, Adam Schiff is the one that says he's got the evidence. You say you people don't lie. Nadler, Gerald Nadler, somebody should ask him that. Gerald Nadler, why don't you go to Adam Schiff? Adam Schiff just a month and a half ago said,
yes,
I've got the evidence that Trump colluded with the Russians. The evidence is there.
Right.
Nobody else is saying that except Adam Schiff. Well, if he said he's seen it in the secret documents, why aren't you calling him to testify?
And why hasn't he shared that with you up to this point? And why aren't you screaming that you've seen it as well?
They're old white conservatives. Feel free to heckle them. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Sorry, just reading here from the Guardian. I don't even know how I got to the article, but it was on an interview with Keanu Reeves. Didn't even get to the body of the story yet, but the writer of this piece, the interviewer, chapter three, is larkier than its two predecessors, including one incredible scene in which Reeves offs some bad guys using an actual horse as a weapon. Rest assured, the horse escaped unharmed.
No horses were hurt during the filming of the movie.
And I'm sorry, I was reading that statement as we were coming on the air, so I was choking up a little bit on the apple slice that I had.
I would, I'd love it. I haven't seen the movie yet, but at some point, if they do another one, they've got to, or if they ever end the John Wick series, if it's not ended with this one. Has anybody found that out, by the way, if they're done? I haven't seen one way or the other.
Well, I guess you would have to see the end, because when I saw John Wick 2,
right.
Remember my first thing, I came in and said, there's got to be a 3.
Yeah, yeah.
There has to be. There is no way you can't have a 3. You can't leave it like that.
Yeah, it was very obvious.
Right.
And then I think one way to end it, if they finally end it, would be to have a puppy kill all the bad guys. Or John Wick would use a puppy to kill the bad guys. Get creative, Hollywood. I know you can do this. Yeah. So
that's a good idea, though. I like that.
We got a 3-day weekend coming up, and if I get time, I'm going to try and get to the movie. I really want to see this on IMAX. Bullets are so great on IMAX.
If I wasn't going out of town, I'm heading to Florida. As I do every Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
I always visit my buddy Jerry and his wife Mary.
Jerry and Mary and Gary. They're going to hang out.
Jerry, Mary, and Gary will
be merry.
We'll be merry around Tampa and Tarpon Springs.
You going to take a ferry?
No, only if I stayed home would I take a ferry if I was going to visit, because that's what they're called. They're ferrying people into the marina on the lake that I live in. They actually have two boats.
Are you wary of ferries?
I'm wary of ferries when there's flooding on my lake.
Yeah,
there was no underlying message there.
Yeah,
make sure. Yeah, a ton of rain. My lake right now, 9 feet. My lake.
You own it.
The lake that I live on. I live on a peninsula of the lake, is now 9 feet over. It's not reaching the point where it did in 2015, where it was 16 feet over.
Yeah.
And when it gets up to 16 feet, it's close to 3 times the volume of that lake. For people that don't know. If you're not familiar with Texas, except for Caddo Lake, I believe that every single lake in the state of Texas is man-made. So if you're ever flying over Texas and you see, for example, if you're flying over Dallas and you come in, you know, you're flying to DFW and you see all these lakes, you're like, wow, look at all these lakes, a lot of water here. Mm-hmm. Everyone man-made.
Right.
And the reason, number one reason, flood control. Number two, water. Number three, recreation.
Mm-hmm.
But number one is flood control. And so all these lakes, for people that don't know it, in the Dallas area, all drain through the Trinity River down through the Gulf of Mexico, you know, down near Houston.
Mm-hmm.
All the man-made lakes from the Gulf all the way up to North Texas, which is the Dallas area, all those lakes also drain. A lot of those lakes drain into there. And so when you have massive rain across it, all the lakes fill up. Now, they're all dammed, but they fill up, and that ensures that places like Dallas aren't under, you know, downtown Dallas isn't under 30 feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
And so all those lakes, and the thing is we've had rain from the Gulf all the way up, so all the lakes are full. So you have to go through the process of, you know, the lakes down near the Gulf, they empty first, and it goes all the way up. So what happened back in 2015, the lake that I lived on was one of the last drained. They didn't start draining it, I don't think, for 3 months. It just stayed flooded for 3 months. And then finally they drained it, and it takes about a month to get it down, probably a month, five. Or if they started today, it would probably take about a month for the 9 feet. When it was 16 feet, they let a lot out more than they normally do, and it took about maybe 5 weeks. So we're looking at it right now, and I don't know. The last rain that we got didn't really, I don't think we got a ton of rain, not a ton of rain. We really sort of escaped yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get as much rain as I thought we were going to get. We didn't escape, though, much on Saturday. So, but in the forecast now, there really is not really any rain.
Chance about 24 hours from now, but it's not
right
like we've seen in recent months.
And so hopefully the hope is where I live, because people where I live, the lake that, and a lot of the lakes, but the lake that I live on, there's probably, I don't know, maybe 600-700 camping sites. You know, people take their RVs and they camp all over my lake. People spend the summer on my lake, and my lake's, you know, 20 miles, probably, by the way, the crow flies probably are 22 miles from downtown Dallas. But the Army Corps of Engineers keeps it natural, so there's rolling hills, and there are no homes actually on the lake. Everything is for, you know, recreational purposes. So it really, and then what happens is, too, on my lake, once the flooding gets up, it gets to the point of where we'll hit some underground transformers, and so they have to shut off all the lakes around the lake. Even the bridges that cross the lake, all the lights are off. They're all connected somehow. So you're going through, even at night, you don't see it. Just everything is dark.
Mm.
And it just takes away the whole beauty of the lake. But you have to understand why the lake is there. So just a little history for people don't. Because I was, when I moved to Texas in the 80s, that's when somebody told me, my first time that I was here. And people said, because I was in East Texas and so near Cattle Lake, and they go, well, that's the only one. And I guess parts of that now are dammed.
Right. Yeah. By the way, for our friends in Denver, summer will happen at some point.
Oh, jeez.
You will get a summer. Yeah. More than 3 inches of snow?
Yeah, I saw somebody. I must have some Facebook friends in Denver, because they were posting pictures of like an apartment complex in Colorado, and there was. It's like, what is this? Is this from a couple months ago?
Yeah.
No, you're. I
mean, we're coming up on Memorial Day weekend, and they're getting snow still. That's crazy. No, thank you. No, thank you. No,
so I might as you know. It's and here's the thing, though. During when you live on this lake, you want to be gone anyway. You want to be gone Memorial Day, Labor Day, and 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
because everybody and their brother. I don't know where that came from, but everybody heads to the lakes on those weekends, and it is just a mass of people. So this is where it started a few years back, probably, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Right.
Maybe, you know, when I first moved out, I just, you know, we just said, okay, every Memorial Day, I try to make sure I'm out of town on those weekends. I'm not always out of town, but you just you avoid the lake. You just don't, you don't do any lake activities. It's impossible. It's just too crowded. You know, right. Cars are everywhere. You can't find a place to park. Right. So I always, you know, this time of the year, head out of town, and it's always good. It's always good to see them. We have a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers for our friends in Oklahoma and parts of Texas.
Yes.
That got tornadoes and flooding over the last 24, 36 hours.
And it was 2 days ago. I was watching some of the coverage on the Weather Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
yeah,
they were following this one. You know, this the one rotating cloud that hadn't hit the ground. They're like, oh no, it's hit the ground. You just can't see it. And they followed this thing probably for 45 minutes. And it was fascinating. All of a sudden they said, okay, you can see it coming down a little bit. Okay, yep, you can see the debris on the ground. And they had this zoom camera from this helicopter. It was like you were a part of the tornado.
Right.
I mean, it was and I don't know how, I'm assuming the helicopters have to be 5, 6, 7 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
But they were following it, and they had the zoom cameras on, and it was intense. I've never been in a tornado. I've seen one. I've seen one from, this is really interesting. The only place I've ever seen a tornado during the day was not in Texas, but when I lived in Rockford, Illinois. And there was one day where they said, I saw a water spout in the Gulf of Mexico. Mm. I lived in Florida. Probably, I don't know, 20 miles offshore. But the other time was when I lived in Rockford, Illinois, and there was, you know, the tornado sighting. And I remember I went to the bridge. They said it was about 10 miles from me. And so what I did was I went to the bridge that went over the interstate there and drove up it and got out of my car and looked, and you could see it.
Right.
And it was like, whoa. I don't mind. If I'm 6, 7 miles away, I think I'm okay. I'm not going to be one of the storm chasers. And they were giving warning, if you're not a professional storm chaser, they were giving the warning out 2 days ago, do not drive up to that area where they said the tornadoes were going to break out.
Right, yeah. They had, and it was a severe risk, the highest level of risk for that outbreak, and sure enough, it happened late Monday into Tuesday. And I follow some of the storm chasers on social media, and those guys, unbelievable what they may go through in a day. A lot of times they'll go and they won't be in the right place at the right time to be able to report. And by the way, they also do a lot of work for the National Weather Service, and in reporting,
mm-hmm.
you do need, it's not just the radar, but you do need people spotting those tornadoes to know exactly what you're dealing with. And so those spotters, very intriguing thing to, you know, be aware of. I've actually been out with a couple of spotters over the years. And it was pretty frightening, because we knew at that point that a funnel cloud was about to, or he knew, this older guy that I went out with, he knew this funnel cloud was about to start, or was about to form. I mean, he could see it. He could almost, like, he could feel it, like it was intuition. But sure enough, it did, right over just northwest of where we were. Probably a couple of miles, it looked like it was right over us.
Wow.
And a couple of years ago, in my parents' hometown, a couple hours away from here, we stepped out after a tornado warning. We stepped outside after the sirens had stopped, and we came outside and we looked up. As soon as we looked up, my parents live in a cul-de-sac, as soon as we looked up, there's a funnel cloud. And we ran back inside, and as soon as we got to the front door to go back inside, the sirens went off again.
Yeah, the closest to my home, I remember that there was a tornado heading probably about 7 or 8 miles from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying it's heading in that direction.
Yeah.
And I remember looking out. It was during the day, and I looked out, and you could see, I didn't see any funnel cloud, but I could see the rotation.
Right.
I could see the rotation. Apparently, it went up, went right over my neighborhood, and dropped about 5, 6 miles down the other side and continued.
Yeah.
And that was like, whoa. But you see the clouds hanging down. I'm like, do I see? Okay, I don't see rotation. But it is, when you see those clouds that you know have the potential of doing it, that's a pretty tense moment, especially when you're sitting in your house.
Yeah, standing underneath one as it's forming is yeah. about as frightening as it gets.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 of Red Eye. We're talking about the president and the Democrats pushing towards impeachment, or are they? I'm just coming across this Fox article. I didn't see this, but Juan Williams and Greg Gutfeld discuss whether President Trump may want to be impeached by the House.
Mm. Yeah.
I just shaking my head on
Well, it's it is about building that base if they want to move forward on that, but they don't want to go the full measure. They really don't. Nadler doesn't want to go the full measure.
They want the confrontation.
Right.
They want
the fight. They want to pretend like they're fighting to make it seem to the far left that they're actually doing something to block this president. The fact of the matter is they're not. Otherwise, Adam Schiff would have presented that evidence that he has said multiple times that he has seen. You would see Nadler calling for and going the full measure on Barr and everywhere else, taking it to the courts on the full measure. But they're not doing that. They're not doing that. And you have to ask yourself, if you're on the far left, you have to ask yourself, why would they not go full on with the fight? Why are they just talking about it? Why aren't they actually doing something?
Because they don't have anything.
Because they have nothing. They know they can't go anywhere.
Right.
They know they'll get blocked in the courts.
And everybody knows that Adam Schiff was lying.
He was lying.
Adam Schiff had no evidence of collusion.
Right. And so they've got nothing. It's all a show. And frankly, I wonder how many of the American people still... How many American people know they're talking about the Mueller report still? That's a question.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Pilot Flying J Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Hi, welcome, and good morning. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
A study by the National Association of Scholars.
You belong to that, don't you?
No.
I know I do.
No. From Breitbart did the story, but this is a study. We actually have the study in front of us. From the National Association of Scholars, revealed that at least 75 American colleges have black-only graduation ceremonies, and 43% of the colleges surveyed offered segregated residential halls. The organization refers to this as neo-segregation. According to the study, the National Association of Scholars graduation ceremonies at American universities are becoming increasingly segregated. What we found was that neo-segregation is widespread, if not pervasive. About 46%, 80 colleges out of 173 segregate student orientation programs. 43%, 75 colleges out of the total, offer segregated residential arrangements, and 72%, 125 colleges out of the total, segregate graduation ceremonies. These arrangements are ostensibly voluntary. Students can't easily opt out. We've tracked numerous indicators of neo-segregation from diversity fly-ins, where colleges offer minority students an expense-paid segregated preview of the experience that awaits them should they enroll. Huh. To segregated alumni groups. So there you go. Inclusiveness is segregation. I'm progressive. I believe in the inclusiveness of segregation.
They really don't see it, though. They don't see it at all.
I don't know.
Former administration, they don't see it. Remember, they didn't see it when they talked about essentially doing away with the Civil Rights Act.
No. Well, look, I think it was every member of the Democrat House voted for the Equality Act. Yeah. And what the Equality Act does is destroy women's rights.
Yep.
That the Democrats fought so hard for.
Yep.
Because now any man, according to every single Democrat voted for, you want to know how radical they are, every single Democrat voted for. And that's where you had the feminist lesbian saying, "What are you doing?" And the feminist lesbian was the one who was kicked off of the mayor's LGBTQ group.
Baltimore mayor.
Mm-hmm. Because she was accused of violence for calling out a man a rapist who was allowed to go into a women's prison and rape women inside the prison. She referred to him as a he, and she was committing an act of violence, was censured and kicked off of the LGBTQ group. This is how insane. Oh, and did you see yesterday, what was it, the head of Planned Parenthood said not only women get pregnant.
Right.
A complete world. And every Democrat listening right now, you know this is pure delusion. Delusional.
Yes,
yet,
it is.
Yet you go along with it and you vote for these people. Think about this. Think about anything that Trump has said that comes close to where Democrats are going right now. Segregation? They promote segregation as inclusiveness. We need to be inclusive, so we must segregate.
If Trump tweeted, "Oh man, I wish he would do this." All right, Mr. President, if you're listening, please. Men can get pregnant. Fact. Just tweet that. Fact. Men can get pregnant. Just tweet that and leave it. And leave it. Oh, man, the screen. What does the left do with that? What does the left do with that? Where does that go?
Or I agree with the progressive nature of inclusiveness at these liberal colleges. I agree with their segregating the races.
How far would he get? I would pay almost $100 to make that happen.
Look here, you want to have some fun?
Mm-hmm.
You want to shut up your liberal friends? Throw that in their faces.
Mm-hmm.
They just look at you with a blank stare. Well, it's because it. They can't come up with an answer.
Well, no, they can't.
You want to have some fun, though? Those are the kind of questions you ask. So what about this new inclusiveness? Oh, you're a Democrat. You're about inclusiveness. So you agree, then, what's being promoted by the liberals now today, which in the new inclusiveness is segregating? You believe that should be done? Oh, so now you're for segregation. Segregation is the way to go. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Because people's experiences based on their skin color should be segregated
and not shared with other
people.
Yes.
The goal should not be to get along as the races.
No.
And to understand each other and to marginalize all skin color. That should not be the goal. We believe that should be the goal. We believe that skin color should matter. That's where That's where we dare to go. That's the kind of radical, intolerant people that we are. We believe skin color shouldn't matter. What should matter is what's in your mind. That's what we think. We know that is a radical concept now to the liberals of today, but that's what we think.
Yeah.
Are we for marginalizing anything? Yes, we're for marginalizing all skin color. From this point on, skin color should not matter.
Well, it should only matter when you're trying to gain access to certain parts of a campus. Because if you don't have the right skin color, then you're not going to get access, right?
Right, but that's why we say it. I'm talking about our philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
That skin color should matter is now a radical idea
mm-hmm.
to the left in this country. And you can see it right there at the college campuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's it is alive and well, but you shouldn't expect anything less. The last administration, basically, their mission was to destroy the Civil Rights Act.
Well, you think about it, yeah. Yeah.
Because if anyone can belong to any protected class, any protected group, simply because they say so, then there are no protected groups.
Which makes you wonder. We know, because I can't think of the woman's name, that the feminist lesbian, and she promotes herself that way because mm-hmm. she said feminism is dying because of this, and it's discrimination against lesbians also. I mean,
right.
that was her point that she was making.
Mm-hmm.
And we know if she thinks it. We know if Martina Navratilova thinks it. We know that this is a mindset that exists. That's why so many in the left are quiet and give you a blank stare and don't want to touch it. They're actually afraid. Think about this. What happened to the guts of people on the left that in the 60s would absolutely protest something like this? What happened? Why are you afraid to challenge out and outright bigotry and discrimination? Why are you so easy to be put into submission to not fight back when somebody is telling you that a man is a woman? We hear about the resistance. Where's the resistance to the fantasy which is being created by the left in this, maybe I'll call it the new left? Think about this. Martina Navratilova is now an oppressor mm-hmm. of LGBTQ rights.
Yes.
Martina Navratilova. You want a radical mindset that exists in Democrats? There it is right now, Democrats and liberals. Because why? You can't say it's not liberals. You can't say it's not. Here's the whole point, because we hear this. We had this all the way up until the vote. When every Democrat voted for it. Well, it's not the mainstream. It's not the mainstream. Every Democrat voted for it.
Sure.
Every Democrat voted to get rid of women's and civil rights in this country when they voted for the Equality Act.
Mm-hmm.
Every single Democrat voted for it. Media is not upset. The media is okay with it. Women's rights go. Civil rights go. Doesn't exist. Because if a man can be a woman anytime they want, and we know the next thing is the transracial, if anybody who's white can be black and anybody can be whatever they wish to be, whenever they want to be, then all civil rights are dead. It was explained by that woman. Nobody said a word. Nobody challenged her. They couldn't. And they still voted the same way to destroy women's rights. You think about this. I just love it. In the abortion fight, how dare men have a say? Well, wait a minute. Men can have a say because the head of Planned Parenthood was, think about this, the head of Planned Parenthood was out there the other day saying not only women get pregnant.
Right.
Just yesterday, or was yesterday or the day before, she said it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just all, the funny thing is there's no debate on it, Eric. There's no, everybody's just quiet on it. It's like,
nobody dares approach it. No,
it's almost like there's some kind of mob Don that everybody is afraid to confront, this secret mob Don that exists, that is promoting that men can be women whenever they wish to be it, and you better not object to it because we're here to get you. Think about it.
Yeah. Can't, you can't speak up. You can't say, that's insane. You can't say, sorry, that's not a man. Oh, no, 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 no.
It's absolute insane. And now it's, as we said before, and we got flack even a month or two ago when we talked about this. Well, everybody doesn't think that way. Everybody in the House now thinks that way who is a Democrat. So, everyone believes a man can be a woman whenever they wish to be.
So at the next Women's March, we'll talk about men's reproductive rights. Will they be promoting that?
Yeah, you're right.
That's what's next.
Well, remember the whole women's movement, the split in it last year was the whole debate was,
yes.
Well, women don't necessarily, because remember the whole pink hats, the whole mm-hmm. vagina thing, and mm-hmm. well, then there was a great debate. Well, not all women have vaginas.
Right.
You can't, I'm sorry, you can't look at anything that Trump does and have those kind of opinions because you're nuts.
Well, again, if he was tweeting all this, the world would be going crazy right now.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And there, it would be never ending. You want to put an end to it, all this discussion, have Trump jump on board for all of it and start tweeting it. Oh, man.
Without reference, just say...
Just tweet it.
Right. Tweet the same things that they're saying.
Men can have babies, too.
Right. Without reference and anything else is going right. on. Just say right. that and see what their liberal response to him would be. If you want to get in, we'd love to hear from you. This is so much fun.
It is.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
He is Eric Carlin. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We'll get to all your calls and comments coming up following the bottom of the hour. Former Vice President Joe Biden is the only presidential contender going into the 2020 election with clear positive favorability ratings. Quinnipiac University national poll said Tuesday with both Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio receiving very negative scores. In terms of negative ratings among American voters, this isn't just Democrats, Sanders is at 48% negative ratings. De Blasio is at 45%. New York Post reported that 49% of voters like Biden, while 39% hold a negative view. The polls showed that 57% of voters dislike President Trump's performance, 38% like his leadership. Despite 71% saying the national economy is excellent or good, de Blasio suffers from low name national name recognition and is often greeted with shrugs even across the city he governs. There you go. Still, de Blasio, a former political operative, is far more representative of his hometown's politics than Trump, who received just 18% of the city's votes, by the way, in 2016. That's interesting.
Wow.
18%.
I'm surprised he got a full 18%.
Oh, that's what that wow was about?
Yes. I'm shocked he got 18. Yeah. You look at it, you got to be de Blasio thinking, what? I thought everyone loved me. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Who else could get in? Because at this point, you know, back then when it was 20 or 21, it was like, okay, you got to believe that you're better than everybody. Not just that you're better than Trump. If you're a Democrat, you probably believe that anyway. But you've got to believe that you have greater name recognition. You have a chance of winning the primary more than anyone else that's announced so far.
And in another poll, according to a new Harvard-Harris poll, most Americans wildly underestimate the number of illegal immigrants entering the United States. One reason, according to Newsbusters.org, could be that the news media's reluctance to disclose the real statistics. An MRC study of every ABC, CBS, and NBC evening news broadcast from January through May 15th, 234 stories talked about illegal immigration, but less than one-tenth of those actually let viewers know that apprehensions at the U.S. border have surpassed 100,000 per month, an 11-year high. A Harvard-Harris poll found 87% of respondents guessed that the number of border apprehensions was lower. A majority, 52%, estimated the rate was less than 100,000 per year, which would make the problem only one-twelfth as serious as it actually is, because they said 100,000 per year, not a month.
Right. Wow.
That's surprising.
Yeah,
it's surprising because there is a lot of talk. I don't care whether they don't cover it specifically. There is a lot of
discussion about it. Yeah. Here's your forecast.
That risk for severe weather in the South today is much diminished as that frontal boundary that was causing all the issues is finally pushing off to the east. Low pressure in the center of the country is going to continue to drive snow showers to the higher elevations of the northern Rockies. If you're planning on some vacationing this weekend for Memorial Day in, say, around Yellowstone, you'll want to keep an eye on the forecast because we have snow out for that area today and may still be a factor this weekend. Portions of I-15, perhaps as far as I-25 in Wyoming, could see some white stuff, especially at higher elevations. There'll be rain at the lower elevations the next several days. Helena at 300 feet, all rain. Yellowstone up at 6,000 feet, we've got snow. What was left of southern severe weather will continue to produce light rain from the Arklatex region up through the Great Lakes. Most of the northeast, mid-Atlantic, and south will be dry. The National Forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
If they're not off the rails, they're off on a tangent. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's head to some of your calls and comments. Let us go to Eric in Connecticut. Eric, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Eric.
Hey, great to hear from you. I just wanted to say I haven't listened a lot, but you guys are a breath of fresh air. That last segment you were talking about the Democrats being out of touch with reality, I couldn't agree more, and I don't feel like many people are really acknowledging that fact.
Well, it's out there every single day. I mean, it's obvious when you have all the Democrats voting for the Equality Act, which says that a man can be a woman when a man says that he is a woman. As you've got on the left, you've got people like Martina Navratilova. You have that other woman that was kicked off the LGBTQ board. They are viewed as oppressors because they're saying females are females,
right?
And men can't be females. And every Democrat in the House says yes, they can.
So how are we going to work out the whole equal pay thing when if you say, well, a woman must make more? Let's say, all right, in my place of work, well, there is a woman making more, or there is a man making more. What if I decide I'm just going to be a woman? I say I am. I don't have to have anything at all to prove that I am, just for saying it. Then what is the pay going to look like? Equal pay, because that's one of the things that Kamala Harris is pushing, by the way. Her own staffers, men, are making more on her staff. Surprise. Shocked. bombshell.
Bombshell. It's a bombshell.
But when we get to that point, well, wait a minute. Who gets to decide? Because any administration that would push that through would, I'm sure, agree with the previous administration that you don't get to question someone about their identity. I identify as a female, therefore, my pay gets... Oh, wait. Because it's not going to be about equal this or equal that. It's what we want to promote at this minute, and if you question it, whatever it is, we're going to shut it down. So, good luck with that. Now, what if it is a female to male transgender? And it's a man. In the workplace. Well, how does that work?
Well, as now that Planned Parenthood has made it official that, you know, that abortion laws mm-hmm. don't just affect women.
Right.
That they affect transgender men.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then a man does have a say.
Right.
Right? Where would we be wrong on this?
We're just asking questions. We don't write the playbook. We don't write the rules.
By the way, it's Julia Beck. I want to make sure I got her name. Okay. She is the one that testified.
Yeah.
She is the feminist lesbian who testified that what the Democrats are doing is unbelievable. You're destroying women's rights. You're destroying gay rights. And they all voted for it.
Right.
It's so bizarre that it's humorous.
Yeah.
And she is now an outcast. Martina Navratilova is an outcast and an oppressor of progressives in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because Martina Navratilova came out and said, no, men shouldn't compete against women. They're not men.
Right. It is just mind-boggling how far this has come. But we knew it was headed this way. You know, we didn't even use the words slippery slope years ago when we said this is where it's going. We didn't say that because it actually was very clear. It's not a slippery slope at all. It was the road they built. It was the path that they cleared for all of this to become reality, which is, in essence, the opposite of reality when you get down to the facts. I honestly don't know where else they go. I don't know what else they try.
Maybe Bill Nye can explain it to us.
Oh, sure. He can set something on fire. In this case, what are you going to set on fire? There's a question. What are you going to be setting on fire with your expletives? Because what? They can't do anything without the drama.
Yeah.
That was real science, you know.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Do we ever get to talk? I know I commented on it on social media.
Yeah. Well, it was funny seeing someone pretend to lose it because it was fake. This outrage, it's fake. Oh, if I use the F word, they'll believe I'm angry. Oh no, everybody! Bill Nye is angry. Oh no! Stop what you're doing. Call your mother and tell her that Bill Nye is angry. Everybody stop. Because Bill Nye just dropped the F-bomb.
Oh, I know what it was. It was because it was on Twitter. Someone had posted the Newsweek article. Mm-hmm. Man-eating tigers could hunt down more humans due to climate change. That story came out. And I posted... Yeah. I like the scenario of Bill Nye burning the world to a crisp with a blowtorch while screaming the F word better.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That was my response. I knew I knew that rang a bell, and I forgot to talk about that one, too, that story that had come out from Newsweek. Man-eating tigers could hunt down more humans due to climate change.
Right.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want you to believe it's going to be like Will Smith, right? I Am Legend. That's how it's going to work. There are areas where you have large cats that are targeting humans. Is that a result of man-made global warming? no, that's a result of hunger. That's a result of nature playing out its course.
Well, it's a result also of humans moving closer to
expanding wild animals.
Right.
Our, in that case, villages, cities, whatever it might be. You and I see coyotes and all kinds of things right here in our neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a pack of them not too long ago.
I've seen right in the middle of a suburban golf course as we're sitting there one time, and my buddy goes, oh, be very, very careful.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he said, turn around very, very, they're only about 10 feet away, a mother bobcat and the little babies. There's a bobcat just walking right in front of our golf carts, right in the middle of, this was when I used to belong to this golf course, it was right in the middle of right on the border of Arlington, Texas, and Grand Prairie, Texas, two major suburbs of Dallas. These bobcats are walking right through.
Right.
And coyotes were on the greens and everything else. So as man does move, and as we do want to not destroy wildlife, there are many things. Now, a bobcat could kill a baby without question. Coyote could kill a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be careful when you're in those particular areas. But that's just the reality of we live with Mother Nature.
It's been going on from the beginning.
Yeah.
The more we expand the areas that we live in, the more that's going to happen. You're essentially going to flush that wildlife out. It's going to be limited in where it can hunt. Man-made global warming? No. Fear tactic by the left. Not man-made global warming. It may be a result of man expanding, the places they live.
I want to expand something that you had said before off the air, and I wanted to bring it up, and I just, can you believe this? We got sidetracked.
Mm-hmm.
But when you said, and I want to add in the whole thing about global warming, that you were talking about everything being, not only with the impeachment and not only with their outrage of Trump and everything else, which is sort of wearing thin, but you made a great point. You said to me, because you think that everything is over the top, not just climate change, that the world's being destroyed, and not just Trump, but you talked about the fact that they promise everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they promised, everything from, Andrew Yang's $24,000 a year for families. And and you made a great point. Does the independent and a growing number of Democrats, rank and file, even look at them? And we can throw in the whole transgender thing and just say, Democrats are delusional across the board on every single issue. I mean, absolutely delusional, even to the point that the average person is saying government can't provide all that to everybody.
Yeah, because I think the problem with what the generations of leftists that they have built, their rank and file, is that not all of them, but some of them look at it two different ways. Because back in the day, it could have been something like, and this is one of the examples I used off the air, $200 for to help you per month, $2,400 a year to help you with child care, right?
Right.
People would have looked at that back then, maybe 20 years ago, and said, oh, man, that would really help. I'm going to vote for this person. That's a great idea. I'm going to vote for this person. These days, it's college. Your child will have $50,000 when they turn 18.
$24,000
per household. In income guaranteed by the government, your health care.
Fully paid for, college free.
All of that, and we'll take over the oil companies. We'll take over everything you hate, and we will control it to make sure everything is good in your world.
Meanwhile, a man can be a woman, and even suggesting a wall is completely and totally unreasonable.
Well, and that's it.
Think about it.
So I think there's two schools of thought. If you were to say these days, all right, $200, $500 a year in a tax credit to help with child expenses, it's nowhere near enough. That's nothing. That doesn't make a blip on the radar. But then to go on and say that you can pay for all of these things you're promising, they also know you can't do that.
And so when you take everything out that they have become the party of drama on The party of drama and delusion.
And empty promises. Think about what the president...
Well, yeah, okay, drama, empty promises, drama and delusion.
Right. Think about what the president, for people who voted for him, what he promised. Things that were actually obtainable. Securing the border. Now, I know a lot of us conservatives kind of scoff at the idea of that being obtainable, that being a goal we could actually reach, but I think we can, and we've said it. I believe if we don't reach it now, that there is little chance we'll do it in our lifetime. But the American people, by and large, want a secure border. And then an economy that's thriving, something that is achievable. Right. Things like this, these are goals that are obtainable that have nothing to do with us personally, directly, but know that they help everyone. That's right. A different kind of political promise.
And when people thought that somebody was serious on those two issues, securing the border, just the general securing the border and making the economy better and stating these are the ways that we could, these are the ways that we could, do this. And then you see in the economy that they work, and then we see the disaster at the border and the crisis as it continues. People can relate to that. You've got a party talking about men or women. Whenever they wish to be it. They're starting to talk about the transracial thing. Now they're saying that we can provide everything to everybody. And Trump, is the most unreasonable person on the planet. Yet they're talking about the most unreasonable things that could possibly be, to the point of fantasy land.
Right.
Where they're saying that science doesn't matter, biology doesn't matter, and by the way, we're doomed, and so we need to take all of your money and go to a socialist communist society. Mm-hmm. These are the things that they're promoting, and you made a great point when you said, do you think people looking at this are going, God, they're just crazy across the board? And they're to the point of that they've jumped the shark on what they can give us.
Right.
That people go, no, this is impossible.
Right. It's all delusional.
That's a great point. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carney, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Interesting, the New York Times editor says newspapers are doomed. Most will be gone in 5 years. So we'll get to that coming up. Plus, we'll ask, did we call it? Well, okay, we're not going to really ask that, but did we call it? The president is asking Democrats to pass the new NAFTA before any infrastructure deal.
Yeah, it's... Where is the leverage, basically, for the president? And can this help him in terms of the USMCA being any kind of leverage? Pulling together, essentially, our friendly trade partners to put pressure on China. Is that the end game? Leading into G20 at the end of next month. We're about a month away from G20. Mm-hmm. And so there's reason to believe that that's what's happening, because that's right out of the Larry Kudlow playbook. The chief economic advisor for the president. So we'll see if that's where they're going. Will the Democrats move on USMCA?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.